This is episode number 130 of the Android Buffet podcast, recorded January 14th, 2013, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. To the Android Buffet podcast. This is episode number 130, sponsored for the coming weeks by Dine.com. Yes, we once again have a sponsor. We'll talk more about them later, as we are going to spontaneously do at some point. Unfortunately, Jerry was concerned that he might not be able to come on tonight, despite no reason not to come on tonight. He didn't show up. So I did arrange a guest in the event that this did happen, who I've been trying to get on for a couple of weeks now to update us on some stuff. Hello, special guest.
Hello, good sir.
Yes, and would you like me to remind people who you are, or would you like to remind people of who you are?
I guess I can. I am Matt Paprocki of DoBlue.com. I've been on the show prior talking some Android gaming and such. Apparently I'm going to co-host this one, so I guess I can handle that.
Well, if you wish to. If you don't wish to co-host, we can talk, and I can do what I did the last time, as I said, that we misplaced a co-host. I will just talk to myself.
I'll be an unofficial co-host.
Okay, well, you're always welcome. We do love people visiting. And just before we start off and talk about a few things, I believe we have a voicemail of some sort. I remember I saw one came in, so let me see if I can get that arranged. My voicemail thing is not refreshing. So we'll cut back to that as soon as it actually decides to cooperate. I wonder who it's from.
Technology.
Well, you know, I have been listening to your show. You don't get that many voicemails.
We don't. People either really love us or hate us so much they totally turn us off. I don't know which way it goes.
I just listen to you twice as fast so that I can get through the show much more quickly. Oh, and the voicemail just reloaded.
Okay. Oh, there we go.
Okay, would you like to hear the voicemail? Because it does talk about movies, and I know that's an area of interest for you.
Ooh, yes, let's do it.
Okay. You see, this lag while we wait for the voicemail to load is not present during
hello,
the recording. Guru.
Hello, Jerry. Gordo Geek, Stephen Lachlan. I'm a little lax good. With my
good. Voicemail. That's always an issue when we do scene in HD.
Keep up the great show. Good stuff. As a thank, Guru, my gift came in the mail. I immediately ripped it open, went downstairs, took about an eighth inch of dust off my PS3, loaded the Blu-ray, and just laughed incessantly over and over again. Mel Brooks, funniest man ever, Blazing Saddles, good stuff. Thank you very much. Cannot wait for the next download. I know it's coming. It's coming soon. Take it easy, guys.
If you didn't guess, he won a contest we have here, which is leave us a voicemail and get a gift.
Oh, all right then.
So he got a copy of Mel Brooks' classic movie, Blazing Saddles, on Blu-ray.
That is ironic. It is my favorite film of all time.
Well, they were selling the Mel Brooks collection, and I happened to have a copy of the Blu-ray, which I got when it was on sale. So I had two copies on Blu-ray of Blazing Saddles.
Nice.
So I figured I would mail one as a gift.
I think I have it on 5 formats. I think I could, maybe more. I might even have it on beta. So
maybe that's a way to get people to listen to your show. Do what I do. Give away things that you are no longer using.
A beta copy of Blazing Saddles. Who wouldn't want it?
Excuse me. You missed when I gave away cassette tapes of Gershwin.
And it worked?
Someone took it. You know, I have to pay shipping costs. But, you know, if people are willing to get a gift from me, I'm still waiting for a response from the other person who I gave a surprise gift. But
I've had that happen before, too.
I have a whole pile of stuff that I am no longer using that I would be happy to mail out to other people in order for people to participate in the show. So I'm not going to buy I'm not going to buy anything new for anyone.
Well, that'd defeat the fun. Then you'd have to put money out, and nobody wants to do that.
Mailing costs I put out.
Right, right.
I actually own a postal scale to deal with that. Unfortunately, the post office will no longer sell me postage.
Why?
They don't have it anymore.
Really?
Well, everything's forever stamps now. You cannot get a cent stamp anymore.
So, That's true.
So I went to the USPS website and tried to order some sent stamps, which they will sell me for $1.25 in shipping and handling. So I'll figure something out. It's still on a list of my things that I'm annoyed about. But we do have a few bits of news, and again, I invited you on because you have an expertise that neither Jerry, who unfortunately couldn't join us, or I have, which is you actually know something about gaming.
Yes.
Yes. And I want to thank you for coming again. So what devices are you currently using? Have you changed since the last time you stopped by?
I want to say the last time I was on the show, I had a Droid Incredible. I believe in that time, I have now gained access to a Samsung Galaxy S3.
I just acquired one of those used.
Nice. Yes. Thoughts?
Very nice phone. It just came in the mail last Tuesday, and I've been enjoying it. I bought it a little case. The guy who sold it to me gave me 3 batteries and 2 different cases, but I didn't like any of them.
I have my OtterBox. I swear by OtterBox. I know there are haters out there of OtterBox, but I will never use anything else.
Well, I tend to switch it up, so I have tried cases. I just got a new case for my Nexus 7. Which is nice. A poetic slimline case, which almost doesn't look like it's on there, except for the fact that it has a cover. And my only requirement is that I be able to cover the screen when I'm not using it, because dust and possible breakage.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give that a recommendation.
Good.
Yes. And did you get a list of some of the things that we might talk about, should you wish to talk about them?
I have not got the list. I was actually trying to find a way to bring that up.
Okay, well, I will tell you about some of the things on the list, and you can comment on them.
All right.
Okay, the White House has turned down a petition to build a Death Star, as apparently the Obama administration does not support blowing up planets.
Which is a shame, because Neptune had it coming.
I'm not sure about that, but I'm not sure if you heard about this, but apparently somebody submitted on one of the White House petition sites that the U.S. government should build a Death Star. And, of course, the U.S. government decided, unlike addressing the many issues that most people feel the U.S. government should address, that they should respond to this individual.
So, but they responded in a way that made it wholly entertaining.
Yes, apparently, here we are. This administration shares your desire for job creation and a strong national defense, but a Death Star isn't on the horizon. Among the reasons listed are an estimated $850 trillion cost and the known Death Star vulnerability. Why would we spend countless taxpayer dollars on a Death Star with a fundamental flaw that can be exploited by a one-man starship?
It's a valid point.
Well, you know, you'd assume that they'd fix known flaws.
That's true.
Didn't they sort of fix that on the second one?
They did, and yet Han Solo managed to get the Millennium Falcon straight into the center of it and blow it up too, so...
Wasn't that pre-completion?
That's true, it was pre-completion, but clearly there was still a giant hole in the center of the thing regardless. That was still going to be there, and it had to be some type of port for something, I would guess. So I don't know. It must just be fundamental to the design of the thing. If it's a circle and it's a sphere, it needs like a center and needs to vent. I don't know.
Well, when you construct your Death Star, I expect to hear how you overcame some of these important flaws.
I will look into it. If anyone gives me $800 trillion, I guarantee you I'll put that on the list.
Okay, another... this is, of course, our other news section where we go over some interesting general stories of the week that might be interesting to Android users but are not strictly Android. Amazon announced AutoRip. So you now get free MP3 versions of all of the eligible CDs you've purchased since 1998, which may have been the last time some people purchased CDs.
Hey, I still buy CDs when I very rarely buy CDs, but that's still a valid issue. That's a great feature. You know, it'd be interesting to see, not that it would ever happen with the movie industry, but it'd be a great feature for the film industry to kind of look into. I know sometimes you buy a movie on Amazon, they'll give you a digital copy, but it's only certain movies and certain times. You got to buy them in a time frame. It's a real...
And it's usually for 24 hours, so they usually give it to you for one watching, and in the idea that by the time you actually watch it, your movie will be there.
Yes, correct. That's the logic. The movie industry, I guess, came to terms and just said, screw it, here, which is awesome.
Well, again, the music industry, I think, sort of said, well, people are going to be ripping this anyway. They're going to be putting it into a cloud that we already licensed. So let's cut out the middleman, and what does that ensure? It ensures that any MP3 that is made off of a CD you purchase is one that they can keep track of.
True, that's true. And, you know, the movie industry, I guess, has kind of taken those first steps with things like Ultraviolet, which hasn't gone well, but at least they're taking the steps. So there's a possibility we could see something like that soon, but considering it took the movie, you know, music industry since, what, 1998?
Well, there's no Steve Jobs anymore, and there's this impression that it was Apple who sort of told them that if they didn't cooperate, then they would lose out on the new music frontier. I don't think that there's one device that's propelling forward video standards the way that an iPod did, regardless of my opinion on Apple, which is not necessarily favorable all the time.
True.
A few more things. Almost 50% of Verizon's traffic is now on LTE. That's 15% more in October. So soon the world will have fast 4G speed.
Wow.
Except possibly...
50%?
50%.
Wow. That seems high. I can't believe that.
Are you a Verizon customer?
I am.
Okay, so do you have LTE in Ohio?
Yes, I do. It doesn't work well, but I have it.
Okay, well, another 50%, that will include the rest of your neighborhood. I always thought of Ohio as getting good reception because it's so flat.
Well, what's funny is we had this issue when I first got my S3, that there is a new tower just across the border in Canada, and we kept getting notices that we were roaming, and we were using data while we were roaming. And it turns out the Canadian tower is so much more powerful than the local ones. In my home, it was actually picking up the Canadian tower repeatedly, and it was actually saying I was out of the country, which is a huge issue. So they actually had to note our account and saying, hey, this didn't happen. Since we called, the issue has went away, so I don't know what it was.
Well, you can also turn off international roaming, so the phone will hopefully. But with a more powerful tower, I could see why that would be a problem. But hopefully they sent somebody out there to work on it.
Yeah, like I said, since we called, this was when I first got the S3, it's cleared itself up. So whatever they did it right. And I haven't really had any complaints since. It was just funny that the Canadian tower was that powerful, literally. I mean, we're about an hour away from Canada here if we took the bridge, but
okay, I'm going still, to laugh because it's an hour, you know. An hour away in the towers, you know, I can't get good reception and I live in the heart of what is arguably a very well covered city.
Well, their basic towers that should be serving us are terrible. So there you go.
They're at least redoing the infrastructure, so maybe in that other 50% they'll say, one day we've lit up Ohio and 100% of Ohio now has LTE. It'll get
That'd be nice.
But I actually went, I had a Resound, which was the first 4G phone I had. I took out the SIM card, which was a regular SIM. I ordered a micro SIM cutter. I sliced the SIM into a smaller package and stuck it in the phone. And it's the first time I haven't had to call a phone number and Verizon knew that I had a new phone.
Wow.
So I know how all those people who are on GSM networks feel. You just take something out of the phone that's your identity, stick it in another phone, and suddenly that phone works. You don't have to call a number, you don't have to go register, you don't have to fill out something.
Nice. That's convenient.
Well, I'm going to say that's the future, but since the majority of the world does it that way, I'm not sure where the future is. That's at least the future of Verizon going to what most people have, which is the phone isn't network dependent, which will make the that'll make the manufacturers happy also, because even though the issue is with different frequencies that different carriers use, what you end up with is a phone where if that phone supports the frequencies of the network you want to go to, you can stick a card in and it will work instantly.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, and T-Mobile, which is the lone major holdout not doing LTE, is announcing that they're going to start doing some limited LTE. So their Galaxy S3 did not have LTE support. They're going to be releasing a new version which does, but we'll have it turned off until it's available in more markets. And at the same time, they're launching HD voice. So your voice communications will sound better.
So can the old phones that didn't have LTE actually be updated or not?
Well, if they don't have LTE chips, they won't be able to be updated to LTE, but the HD voice is a codec, so they should be able to do some of that.
Okay. Kind of cheap, but okay.
Well, T-Mobile's behind. The only people who are a little ahead of them would be Sprint. And Sprint's problem is it bet on the wrong standard. It was doing WiMAX, and it just switched over to LTE. So they're behind, but I hear that they've lit up a bunch of neighborhoods. So they may catch up at some point, and they've got an infusion of money from the Japanese. Always helpful.
Yeah.
Okay, so last week we were discussing a program that had come to light in the XDA forums called Cedar. And the idea was that that one little hack could make a whole bunch of devices run faster. So
you cut out on me there. I didn't hear that.
Essentially, this little hack where, just to go down, it was essentially changing the random number generator that Android was using.
Okay.
Apparently would improve all of this lag, and in testing, some of the people who tried it discovered that this indeed worked, but several Android developers have said that it shouldn't. So the question is, in an open source system where you can look at the code, where people are saying anecdotally that this seems to do a lot, but yet the experts who actually wrote the code are saying it shouldn't, what's actually correct?
That's a left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing type scenario.
Yeah, and the problem is, in my opinion, too many cooks. It may be that the operating system level that they've gotten rid of anything that depends on this, so basically it won't work. But there are always developers out there who will use bad code. Even though they may have a good application, they may go and put something in that's long since been deprecated. Now, I have this all the time because I'll get error messages saying that this program requires this library, and that library version has been superseded by three versions.
Mm-hmm.
So it generates an error message saying you have the wrong version installed, except I have the newer version. That should be the right version. If you use Google Voice, Google has begun integrating the voice service with Contacts, which continues their deduplication of redundant services. So basically, if they have three things that do the same thing, in the near future, it will be one thing that does three different things. But it makes sense. If, you know, they have a voice system, it should be integrated with your contacts.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they started doing that with Google Plus, so now Plus shows up in Gmail. But they had Gmail contacts, they had the Google Contact app, which is sort of Gmail-like, which you can access at google.com/contacts. And they had the contacts within Voice, and they were all synced together, but they were three different ways of looking at the same thing.
That's confusing.
Well, that's why Google has started canning services and trying to unify. They realized that they had, admittedly, a few projects have gone away that I've liked, but I think they sort of realized that they had all these things going on, even though they wanted to encourage developers at their company to try new things, which is their 20% time. They're trying to make an effort to tie everything together, and tying it together is Google+. Whether or not you like the social network, the whole idea is it's all Google all the time. So in order to support that, I have sitting here a Chromebook, which I picked up over the weekend.
Nice.
So my challenge is I have a few things I have to find applications for that are web-based, but I'm going to take a challenge as soon as I figure out one or two remaining things, and I'm going to spend a week using only a Chromebook. So I'm not the only one who's tried this, but I want to see, can I spend a week living in a browser?
Interesting.
So could you do this?
Probably not.
Well,
I mean, it's possible. I can see how it's possible, but I don't think I could do it.
Well, I'm not necessarily saying that you wouldn't be able to use your gaming console or your Blu-ray player as dedicated. I'm referring for your computing needs only.
Oh, and that now?
Because I'm not counting. Yeah, I'm not counting gaming because gaming usually have a dedicated thing. I'm talking about purely for the productivity things you do every day.
No, actually, I could not.
Okay. I don't think I could do it for months. I think I could probably do it for a week.
Yeah. If I wasn't doing Do Blue, I probably could. But because of that, I don't think so.
Well, I'm going to see what happens. Because I do some writing, and since I'm using WordPress, I should be able to run that off of a Chromebook. So if I want to write an article.
Okay.
So for me, it may work. So a few other things that I want to tell you about. Would you consent to let me tell you about our sponsor?
Sure.
Okay. Our sponsor, which just started this week, is Dyn.com. Have you heard of them? They used to be Dyn DNS.
I have not. Do tell.
Okay, well, back in the old days, when I used to use them, and I still do occasionally, I have an account there, what they were was if you had your home on the internet and you had a dynamic IP address where every time you turned on your cable modem it would change the address, Dyn DNS had a client, which a lot of routers had the ability to enable. So essentially the router would tell Dyn what your IP address was so you'd be able to access your home computer over the network, even if the IP address changed. So, you know, a lot of people use remote services that require your computer to be constantly connected to let's say a cloud service, like a LogMeIn or one of those. But this goes back to a more basic level where your router, just every time your IP address changes for your home network, it'll notify them. So essentially it's just, this is where I am. But that's not all they do right now. Now, what they've been doing is they've expanded outward from this. They're offering what they refer to as the best-in-class uptime and flowing traffic to websites fast, so they've gone more commercial. So they still do offer a personal product. You know, I have an older account, but they offer enterprise-level DNS, traffic management, load balancing, fallover. And essentially, if you are a business as opposed to an individual like myself, what you can do is find the right package for you. So essentially, instead of running your own DNS or running it off of your service provider, these people will make sure that your DNS is taken care of. They also offer email services and various other things. So if you want to go and try this out and get faster internet, again, mostly for your business, but they do some personal products, you can go and visit dyn.com/podcast-rv, and you can fill out the contact form, or you can start shopping now, and they are offering a promo code of 30%. That's podrv13. So does this sound interesting?
It sounds like a unique idea.
Yeah, and you know, I actually like it. And what I'm going to do, and because they have generously offered to sponsor the show, I'm going to go and I'm going to find some applications that I'm going to test out with them. because I feel that whenever a company, which, you know, again, I do admire them, but I haven't used them regularly in a while because it's all self-service. The one account I have just sort of runs on its own. I'm going to experiment with some of their more advanced features. So we're going to be talking about them as we're sponsored for the next couple of weeks. So I'm going to have something new to tell you every week.
Nice.
Although, Matt, you won't necessarily be here. Not that you're not welcome. You're always welcome to listen to the show. And you're always welcome to participate in the chat room. And some weeks we have more people. Usually we have a couple people in there. Today we have Murph, and he's a regular.
Hi, Murph.
Yep. And he said hi already. If you see in the chat room, he said hi back.
I do. Yes. I am responding, technically.
Yes, and he'll hear you. We have a delay of a few seconds, but he will hear you and he will respond.
Sweet.
Yes. So going back to Google, I'm sorry, we are required by contract to take a station break. This is, again, the Android Buffet podcast, broadcasting live at live.androidbuffet.com on our own private channel, available for rental. So if you guys over at Scene in HD would be interested, you know, I can cut you a good deal on some streaming so you could have people listen to the show live as you record it. And I've gathered by some of your comments that that's an interesting experience.
It was odd when we did the year-in show. It was live. I've done live shows way in the past, but that was my first one for DMZ, and it was fun. Went better than I thought.
Yeah, and we decided to do it every week because not only is it much faster, so what you hear now with one or two minor edits goes out pretty much the actual recording of exactly what happened. If the phone rings, you'll hear it. So completely live with all of the flubs.
Nice. Huh. We normally don't edit out the flubs anyway, so.
Yeah, but we figured we might as well embrace it. So if you want to come and show up and you can participate, if Murph says something in the chat room, we'll respond to it.
Nice.
Yeah, so we try. And we even did a live show where we were actually in the same room.
Ooh, that's fancy.
Yeah, I had to go all the way to the south.
Ooh.
Yeah, may never happen again. Murph was in the audience, actually.
Wow.
He went all the way there. He lives in New Jersey. He went all the way to the south to our live show.
That is dedication, sir.
Yes. We did it at a conference so other people would show up. Google is also now allowing all developers to respond to comments. Previously, this was a limited beta. So if you're a developer on the Google Play Store, you will be able to respond to people who comment about your app. So if they say, this app sucks, you can go back and say, no, it doesn't. You just don't know what the heck you're talking about. And other intelligent discourse.
Yes.
A few bits of apps that have actually been updated this week. Flipboard, which is a news reading app, now has Daydream support. So have you used Daydream support on your Galaxy S3?
Don't even know what it is.
Well, it's actually an interesting feature. It's a screensaver.
Okay.
So the idea is that if you have, you know, let's say that you use your phone and or your tablet on your bedside. So many people use their phone as an alarm clock. Do you do this by any chance?
Yes, I've done that a couple times.
Okay, so the idea is that you can tell Daydream, which is sort of like a screensaver, to, whenever the phone is docked or charging, to activate this little screensaver program. And a lot of programs are now enabling support. So the ones that defaultly came with Android were a clock, you know, little vibrating colors, a gallery. So other apps are getting in and saying, so with Flipboard, what they're saying is, with this Daydream functionality, if your phone is plugged in and charging, or docked, depending on what setting you set, after several minutes of inactivity, as long as the screen is still on, it will go into this mode where it will just show you news stories.
Oh, that's cool.
Or other apps have plugged in. If, let's say, some of the widget apps that do weather have plugged in, so they'll display their widget. So basically the idea is that apps can put in support for this Daydream mode.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's you know, admittedly by itself, it's not necessarily that amazing, but the fact is they built in an API, so any app can pump its feed into the screensaver.
That's cool.
I sort of like the idea of sitting a tablet by my bed and having it run the weather or running the news or running whatever else I'm interested in at any time.
Yeah, I mean, is it customizable? Can you do a lot of stuff with it? Or is it just kind of news and weather and that type of stuff?
Well, that's, again, it has an API. Any app developer could write something for it. So right now, on my device, for example, not only do I have the standard clock, colors, photo frame, and photo table, but I have one that links into SmugMug, which is where I store my family photos. So I pay for an account because I like to keep my family photos private. And even though there are things like Flickr and Picasa out there, I felt these people would take better care of my photos. So there's an app that actually put in Daydream support. So when my device shuts off, it starts a slideshow.
Oh, that's cool.
And that's nice. You know, I don't turn it on all the time, but sometimes it's nice when I to just leave it somewhere and watch some old photos. And I have a lot of old stuff that I like to look through because I went and my father had boxes and boxes of slides sitting in the garage that he hadn't touched in probably since the early 80s, the last time he took slide photography. He never looked at them, so I had them shipped off to India and digitized. Now, whenever he wants, he can look at them on a digital device. And his brother was so enthused that he started uploading photos, so we now have, you know, family-wide thousands of photos, you know, some of which date back to the 20s.
Wow. That's cool.
Well, I enjoyed it. I think it works out very nicely when you want it to, which is if you get your family to contribute photos, if you go and get rid of, you know, what am I going to do with an album? I might as well go and take those photos and upload them somewhere where I can look at them wherever I am.
All right, and you can preserve them that way too.
Well, I'll never
lose them. A little safer.
Well, no, I have my own copy of everything, but I know that if they're backed up somewhere, I'll never lose them because I'll have my original copy, there'll be a copy online, and I can access them whenever I want.
Right. I'm saying in case of a disaster, God forbid, there's always a way to get them.
There are even pictures of Jerry Jones there, because I uploaded pictures of my trip to Charlotte, North Carolina, where I met him for the first time.
Nice.
So every picture I take, I ultimately send there. So I have 2012, 2009, pictures dating back to the 60s. Here's 1971, New York, 2008. Ooh, Thanksgiving. Nice. Anyway, I get sidetracked a lot on the show. So does Jerry. It works out very well for us. Let's see. Oh, yes. Speaking of photos, the Dropbox app, if you use Dropbox, has been updated with tools that allow it to share photos or a collection. So Dropbox allows you to set up automatic camera upload to back up your photos. But now... Nice. They have added in additional features, so you can not only view your photos based on when they were taken. So I just pulled it up on the tablet, and even though I didn't take any pictures with the tablet, it synced the pictures from my phone. So it has a picture of a hot water heater, some random stairs, some guy. Somebody asked me to go take a picture of something for them. So I was taking a picture of a hot water heater. I didn't need to save that, but you know, any picture that's taken on my phone automatically is backed up somewhere. So here is a picture of my new home theater, another subject I know you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
I just moved all my furniture to better accommodate my home theater setup.
Nice.
Ooh, here's a picture of some eggplant I made. Anyway, anything that I take is basically the point is here. Oh, there's my trip to Disney World. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, sidetracked.
There's a lot of pictures is what we're getting at, people.
Yes. So, and I could go now that they've updated this. I can go, let's say that I wanted to share this picture with you. I could hit share, and it would generate a link that could be sent to you by email that could be put into a client, all from my device.
Awesome.
Yes. And if you are a Chrome user, on Android specifically, they've launched a beta channel. So they're going to have a Chrome beta app if you want to get the bleeding edge of Chrome.
Tried Chrome once. Didn't like it.
Are you a Firefox user?
I am. I actually went back. I tried Chrome about 2-3 weeks, and I just gave up.
I go back and forth about every few months. Yeah. But I just bought this Chromebook cheap. I'm so surprised you can get a whole 11.6-inch computer for $199 if you're willing to put up with Chrome.
Yeah, if you got to put up with Chrome, that's kind of the tough spot. It's amazing for all that Google does. Their browser is really, it's just missing so much out of the box. You almost have to build it. Well, and that's what kind of drove me nuts.
Well, in my case, what I'm prepared for is in the event that I'm not happy with the Chromebook, what I can do is force install a version of Linux and then get Firefox and other apps. So at that price point, $199 for a, you know, an extra computer isn't bad.
No. Was that on sale or is that just like a base price?
No, this is the Acer. There are two popular Chromebooks right now that were released. One is the Acer C7 Chromebook, which is essentially a rebranded netbook. So it uses an Intel Celeron processor, which is good for on the go, if not gaming. The other one is the Samsung Chromebook. And the Samsung Chromebook uses a ARM processor, which is the same that a phone would use. So it's $249, but it's much slimmer, lighter, and there are a bunch of different operating systems that can run on that as well, because people have compiled different versions of Linux for the Chromebook as well as for the ARM processor. So basically, $199 for, you know, what's basically a inexpensive, you know, not necessarily top of the line, but good for a secondary productivity computer.
Right.
And this is the thing I'm considering replacing my old MSI Wind U100 netbook.
Still putting on the netbook, huh?
I use it when I go places.
Yeah.
I have this Nexus 7 that I use when I go about my daily business. So I go out, I sit somewhere, I read on my Nexus 7. I do other minor things on there. And ultimately, when I go on a trip, I want to be able to type. And while I could hook a Bluetooth keyboard up to the Nexus 7 and I have, it isn't quite the same. So basically, the Chromebook for me is just a word processor. That's why I
want... And for that, it'll function.
Well, for that, it'll do pretty much what I want. And as I said, if I want more functionality, I can dual boot it with a full Linux operating system. The thing came with a 320 gigabyte hard drive.
Not bad for something that small.
Well, 11.6, 320 gigabyte hard drive, 2 gigabytes of RAM, and I have a 4 gigabyte SIM sitting here not doing anything anyway. Nice. So I'm gonna have 6 gigabytes in there without actually having to pay anything extra. Although that, awesome. I'm told that voids the warranty. But I'm excited about all this. You know, some of the reason why I'm doing it is just a challenge for myself. Can I spend a week living entirely on the web? It seems like a fun challenge. And if I fail, what's the cost to me? And if I win, I'll probably write something about it. Actually, if I lose, I'll probably write something about it. let's see, here we are. Fictocracy for Android tracks your workout. So this is another one of these social fitness apps.
A lot of those.
Well, it's just very interesting. See, last week, Jerry was very excited because he'd found an app that will pay you to exercise.
I like that one.
Yeah, the only thing is, what it is you, if you don't exercise, you owe them money.
Oh, exercise, I don't like that one.
If you exercise, you don't. So as long as you exercise, you get the money from the people who don't exercise. So you're agreeing that if you don't do something, that they'll charge you. And they have your credit card details.
Oh, that's clever.
Well, it's good motivation.
It is. I mean, that's a brilliant idea, quite honestly. The problem is, I mean, what happens if not enough people don't exercise?
Well, they don't guarantee a flat rate. It's essentially they divvy up the profits.
Okay.
So the more people who participate, the more you'll end up getting. So they take a cut, and they divvy up the rest evenly, and according to some predefined formula.
Wow. Man, clever.
In other news, let's see, the Ping Project. Here's one. Precipitation identification near the ground. They have an app on Android, and they need your help to tell them when it's raining. So the idea is every time, and you can find this in the Play Store under MPing, which is the name from the University of Oklahoma, it needs you, the citizen scientist, to watch and report on precipitation. They need volunteers to fill out this form. The NSSL, which is the National Severe Storms Laboratory at the University of Oklahoma, will collect radar data in your area with sounding data from models and use your data, which is what you report on the ground, to develop and validate new and better algorithms for forecasting.
Hmm.
So would you be interested in participating? So what you do is when it rains, you're going to run the program and you're going to tell it what type of rain there is. So it's, you have just rain, hail, freezing rain, drizzle, what you observed, and you're going to send them a report.
That's unique. I'm wondering what type of data they're going to get that they wouldn't get from every other weather device out there.
Well, it's saying here, they actually explain that. Let me see here. The radar cannot see close to the ground at far distances, and because automated surface sensors are only at airports. But people affected by winter weather are everywhere.
Okay, yeah, I'm actually reading the app now. I pulled it up because I was curious.
Yes, measuring with a ruler is best, but whatever you do, stay safe.
I could see someone suing them because they went out in the middle of a thunderstorm with a metal ruler and got struck.
Well, don't forget to, you're measuring the hail. So.
Yeah. Huh, that's clever. Useful to see the results.
Well, you can. As it's a university, they're probably going to post what they find out.
Yeah, I may download that. Why not?
I look forward to hearing that you have reported at least one weather storm.
I shall. Wow, that's a small app, too.
Well, all it is a reporting app.
Yeah.
Amazon has released, speaking of reports, an Amazon Web Services console app. It's very basic, but it is the future. You'll be able to monitor when Netflix goes down. Should you be an employee of Netflix and want to keep an eye on your Amazon cloud services.
Which was important if you were on Netflix over the holidays and trying to sign up with all of your new devices you received.
Well, I wasn't trying to sign up. I was just trying to find something to watch on television.
Or for any reason, of course. Yeah, of course. But
well, I actually found a solution. I've decided to break into my DVD collection.
There you go.
So I'm in the midst of a chronological marathon of television shows I own on disc.
So, there you go. Physical media rules the day.
Yes. I got through the complete I Love Lucy. So I started in the 50s, and I just finished up the 1970s with the classic British comedy, Are You Being Served?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my uncle loves that one.
Yeah. So I now have to find a television series from the 80s.
Airwolf, good sir. Airwolf.
No, one that I own. The parameter is it has to be something on my shelf that I haven't watched recently.
Well, you don't have Airwolf. God, come on. Get on it, man. You got to own Airwolf.
A show about a bunch of people in a helicopter?
Yes. Okay. Yes. A rogue pilot who gets hired by the government but kind of goes his own way to take down criminals every week. It's awesome. It's the best show ever.
I'll stick with Quantum Leap.
Okay, that one too.
Also an 80s show.
Yes.
I admit it, I have odd taste, but what I have that I've been meaning to watch, Nowhere Man, which comes into the early 90s. So as soon as I finish with an 80s show, if I have one, then I skip to the 90s, and my copy of the complete run of Nowhere Man.
Show rings a bell, but I don't...
UPN. It was paired up with Star Trek Voyager. The premise is that the lead character was a photojournalist who took this picture, which appears to be some men with hoods over their head being executed somewhere. And then, as a result, suddenly they steal his life away, and he's on the hunt for these people in a shadow conspiracy organization.
Hmm. Sounds fun. Was it? Didn't last long, did it?
Let me see. 1 second. I have it right here. Nowhere, man. I got it when it was on sale. One of the best of 90s sci-fi thrillers. My name is Thomas Vail, or at least it was. Unknown forces conspire to erase photographer Thomas Vail's, Bruce Greenwood's, identity, and without warning, every aspect of his life is erased during the course of one evening. His wife acts as if he's a stranger, his credit cards are suddenly invalid, his keys no longer fit the door to his home, and one way or another, his family and friends are silenced. 25 episodes. 19
well, maybe
hours.
A season or two.
I think it was 2 seasons.
Hmm. Sounds unique.
Yeah, yes. Are you a fan of Bruce Greenwood?
Yeah, a little bit. Wouldn't put him up there at the top. But yeah, he's a good actor.
Well,
he's one of those guys you see all the time. You're like, I know him.
Yeah, and he did the show back in, I think it was 95. So I thought he's
a good character actor. He pops up all over the place.
Yeah, and I've been looking forward to watching this because I never actually saw the entire show. I only saw a few episodes. I just wanted to know what was going on. That and my copy of Dark Skies, which I still haven't gotten around to rewatching. I'm sure I missed a few episodes there.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned that to you last time you were here.
Yeah, maybe. I actually come to think of it, maybe.
Okay, and I do have one feature that I'd like you to participate in because you are the noted expert. What is the state of gaming on Android since you last showed up? Because that's an area that we're not experts on, and you are.
The big change since I was on last time, and I was kind of just getting into it then too, but the big change has been the rise of free-to-play. If it's not free-to-play, honestly, it's difficult to see what's successful. Otherwise, I mean, if you go into the Play Store and you go to top free, it's amazing how often something new pops in. But if you go to top paid, it's fairly static. You know, maybe something new releases, but for the most part, Minecraft is always at the top. Something by EA is always at the top. Angry Birds Premium will be there.
Don't forget, Where's My Water?
Yeah, Where's My Water? Yeah, all of those are huge too. But you go to top free and it's always changing. But there's some consistent ones there, don't get me wrong. But the rise of free to play has been amazing. There was a great story, and you can probably Google it. I believe it was on Wired, where they track people who play these games. They're called whales in terms of the industry. And these are the people who spend thousands upon thousands of dollars per year on single games so they can rise to the ranks of the leaderboard. And these free-to-play developers is basically what they're looking for is one or two whales, and that will support them for the entire year because that's how much money these people will spend on these games. And it's amazing because you can get an entire game on the Play Store for, you know, $2, $3, $4, sometimes even just $1 on sale. And yet these people go in and they put into one game basically effectively purchasing nothing when it comes down to it. They're spending thousands of dollars on in-game items just to compete. And this model has taken off, and I can totally see why. I mean, basically, you are going to release a game and get $1 one time from one person, or you can release a free-to-play game, charge people for items once they're hooked, and can get a continual profit, and it never ends. It's amazing how much that market has exploded.
Well, aren't some of those games, if you hung around long enough, you'd get the thing for free? Not all of them.
Some are. It totally depends on the game. You know, like Candy Crush Saga is a really popular one. There's one of those where you can purchase lives, but if you run out, you can wait like a half hour to get a life. Every half hour, you get a life up to like 8. Or you can pay like $1 and get the 8 up front.
Because I can appreciate going and charging people who have no patience.
That doesn't bother me too much.
No,
I'm saying,
I can appreciate that more than charging people for a full game playing experience. I'm not saying that I don't. You know, I've paid for games over the years. I'm just saying that I sort of appreciate the idea of saying, well, if you contribute your time, then you can go and get the same benefit as you contribute your money.
See, I'm okay with that, but there's certain – depends on what the item is. Like lives to literally continue playing, you know, it depends. I mean, I would prefer to pay, you know, $1, $2, $3, whatever it might be up front and just get the game as opposed to constantly waiting. I mean, the hook is that they have you. And once they have you, you're in, and you are going to continue to pay this money regardless once they have you. And again, I mean, most of the games I have on my phone are paid. I've purchased them. I have probably one, maybe two games on here that are free to play, and they're not intrusive about it. They're done very well. But there's some stuff on there. I downloaded a football game. I don't remember what it's called, but they have a basketball game now too, where basically you create a team, you name them, you do all that fun stuff, and you get in there and you watch them. But it turns out there's absolutely no way to be competitive unless you're willing to spend the money to buy better players. A big win football. Now they have big win basketball. That's what it's called. You literally cannot be competitive unless you pay. There's no time issue. You literally can't win to get the experience you need unless you begin to pay. And that's where I think there's a line being drawn. It's a dangerous idea in the long run. In terms of the industry, the entire gaming industry as a whole is changing. Every aspect of it is changing. Console sales are down. Game sales are down. The mobile market has risen unbelievably over the course of time. It's kind of instilling this idea that, you know, a $60 game is some kind of aberration. You can't spend $60 on the game. Why would you? You can get a free game on your phone or get a dollar game on your phone. They're just as good. You know, yeah, maybe some of them are, but for the most part, there's a lot of junk that fills these marketplaces because anybody can develop a game, unlike a console where it's a more restrictive environment. So
if free to play, something like off, the, how do you pronounce it? Probably, I guess the Ouya.
Ouya, I don't know how to pronounce it either.
Where people are working, and there are a few others that were announced at CES where they're trying to develop these Android-based gaming consoles where they're saying, well, you're going to buy the game, but what if you want that more involved experience, but you want to have the game also on your phone?
Right. NVIDIA did one too. I can't remember what they called it. We covered it on
Shield.
CNHD.
Project Shield.
That was a unique idea because not only did that have the Android capabilities, it also was able to stream PC games, which was a great idea. You can't do that. But that's a unique idea. I think if these type of things take off, I see the potential more than I do on a mobile phone. I think right now what mobile gaming needs more than anything else, as good as a touchscreen is for a lot of games, mobile gaming needs standardized controllers. I know people don't like to lug it around. The appeal of a mobile phone is that you just have your phone. You don't have to take anything else. It's easy to slip in your pocket, and you're small, you're done, you move on. But a controller, there are so many games that would be so good if I just had a controller in my hands to be effective in terms of controlling it.
I have a controller that works with my Nexus 7. I have one that looks like an old Nintendo controller for when I feel nostalgic and want to play old Nintendo games.
Yeah, and there's a couple I've had. There's one that was literally just like a one-handed joystick. I can't remember what that was called. But that was a great idea. The problem is the games themselves have to be programmed to support them in most cases. For instance, there was the MOGA controller that was released. And for a lot of Game Loft games like Modern Warfare and things, not Modern Warfare, I don't remember what they call their War series. But that series supported it, but their Nova series did not. And it's so wishy-washy whether or not you're purchasing a game that supports it. And there's really no documentation regards to that, too. You go online, you kind of, maybe you Google it, hey, does this game support this controller? And some people say yes, some people say no, because, again, you have that fragmentation of the phone, which creates further problems. And it just becomes a really frustrating mess. I know Apple's totally against the idea, but the Google, Android, all those players have so much potential to really take over the gaming market if they really wanted to. Ouya is an answer. Maybe Shield's an answer. Again, there were others too, but they need standardization. One controller needs to work for the majority of these games. There just needs to be one popular one that developers look at and go, yes, this is a controller I want to support. Until that happens, it's going to be really difficult for a lot of these games to take off. You're going to have your casual market. You're going to have your people who play Bejeweled because that works on a touchscreen. Candy Crush Saga, you're going to have those people no matter what.
Well, there is one thing that will work for everything that they have done to some degree. This is what they do for arcade emulation to some degree, where the controller actually emulates a Bluetooth keyboard. So most phones now, the ones that were made post Gingerbread, have Bluetooth keyboard support. So all any developer would have to do is say, well, if there's a problem, I don't have to necessarily support all these devices. I have to support being controlled by a keyboard. And if there's a problem, there's a configuration menu where I can say if there's an A received, that means a left. It's not an ideal solution, but it means that the developers, even though they're going to support the most popular devices, could technically support any device as long as it uses the standard keyboard configuration.
Right, and there's an answer. That's an excellent way to do it. Again, it's not a specific controller, but it is a way that you could use something an alternative to the touchscreen controls, which for a lot of games just do not function. Like I said, Bejeweled, your casual titles, a lot of the free-to-play touch stuff, that's all fine. You're not going to have any trouble. But there's a lot of games that want to be console. EA is releasing Need for Speed, which is fantastic. But it uses the touchscreen or it uses motion. And if you're, you know, say you're on a train going to work or something like that, and you're trying to play a game with motion, forget it. You can't do it because you're bouncing all over the place. The phone's bouncing. It doesn't react correctly. If I had a controller in my hand, boom, the game works great. I can play it wherever I go. And then I think you have a serious competition to the console market. And again, the console market's slowly but surely kind of dwindling away. I think a lot of people are starting to head over to the PC if they want that experience for a lot of reasons. But then you're losing a lot of people to the mobile market because of time. It's just easier. You have your phone in your pocket, you pop it out, you play a game, you're good to go. You get that fix and you're done. So it's unique. It's unique how far the Google Play Store has come since I first got the Android platform in my hand with the Incredible and where it's went. The free-to-play market is definitely where I look at and go, wow, it is amazing what they have done with free-to-play.
And since it's early in 2013, would you like to make a New Year's type prediction? So by this time next year, or by the time you next visit the show, whichever you'd like, what do you think we'll be seeing? I like to ask people questions like that. It makes the drama when those things do or do not work.
I don't know. I think you're going to see major publishers start looking at mobile platforms. I don't know if it'll necessarily be Android, but I know Nintendo is under a lot of pressure to release certain things for mobile platforms. You know, investors were really angry at Nintendo that they didn't have a Mario game for Android and or iOS.
They could make a lot of money with that, and they wouldn't dilute the brand.
See, that's Nintendo's theory, is that they will dilute the brand. Because as of now, it stands as a premium brand. It's a brand that you have to pay $50, $60 to get access for. And you need this $250, $300 console to play it on. If you release it for, you know, a dollar app, well, suddenly the brand doesn't seem to have that much appeal. I don't know if that's the case. I mean, if you're releasing the original NES Mario as, you know, a dollar app, are you really diluting the brand? I don't think so. If you're releasing new Super Mario Brothers, do you see that? I think so. I can see that. I think free-to-play has kind of turned games a little disposable, and I think it's turned people back a little bit from paying decent money for great games. It's a problem the Steam stores had in the past, too. They've been criticized for us. You go to Steam, it's like, oh, a game's $60. You know what? I'll just wait till it's on sale for $5. I think that's kind of the attitude it's creating. That's what Nintendo doesn't want to do. But in terms of that question, yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of publishers. You know, you're seeing THQ close down. You're seeing a lot of major publishers close down. A lot of publishers who are struggling are going to go into the mobile market, and they're going to hit it very hard. How? I don't know. But they're definitely going to start looking into more, maybe side games on mobile and various maybe franchise games that maybe franchise didn't do so well in consoles. Maybe they'll throw a $2-3 game out there to Android and see how it does. That's what I see happening, because that's you know, so far it's looking like there's the future of gaming right there, is the mobile market.
Well, which of the classic franchises would you say would be best to come to Android? I know Sega brought over Sonic, which is a classic franchise, but what of the, you know, of the classic games that haven't gotten some sort of Android version would you say has a chance of making it over and doing a good business without cannibalizing what they might be concerned about elsewhere?
You know, I think the Nintendo example was a good one. I think classic Mario games would do really, really well. I don't think we'll see it, you know, in a year, but I think down the line we'll probably see it. You know, Sega, like you said, they released Sonic, but they have so many other properties where they haven't touched them, and I think there's potential for more games there. You know, you got little oddballs like Golden Axe that you see being emulated on consoles all the time. You got Dreamcast games. Crazy Taxi would probably be a really good fit for Android. You know, talk about Capcom. They have such an amazing backlog of games that would be fantastic to see on Android.
Why would they not bring, let's say, something like Mega Man, which was Capcom?
I don't know.
There's a franchise that has gone through a lot of changes over the years where they couldn't easily go and update some of the classic stuff without any large amount of problem to just, you know, tweak it a little so that when you, what was it, used to happen to me, when you back up that all the screens don't reset.
Yeah.
That was the one that always drove me crazy in terms of realism.
You know, with Mega Man, the funny thing is Capcom's kind of abandoned the character, even though I think it's his 25th or 30th anniversary. But yeah, you're right. That'd be a great franchise to see ported over in
because
some capacity.
It's simple enough that it wouldn't be a problem to have it on a phone.
Well, what's funny is they had later entries for like the Game Boy Advance and DS. They had like Star Force, Mega Man Star Force, which was a strategy game. It was a grid-based strategy game that was hugely popular. because it kind of played into the mindset of Pokemon. You know, it was kind of a collect-them-all type thing. And that'd be perfect for a touchscreen. You just, you know, tap to do all your strategy stuff. It would be amazing, actually, on a screen like that. But they haven't done anything with it. But, you know, strategy games, there's a great example. Final Fantasy Tactics, I believe Square finally got on board and said, okay, let's do this. And again, for a touchscreen, that type of stuff is perfect. You don't need a controller. It's a perfect, probably very easy port given hardware power these days. So, I mean, I'd love to see more of that. You know, maybe even Japanese RPGs, Final Fantasy VII. There you go. What do you really need? You need to run around an overworld and then tap icons during the battle system. That'd be great, too. So why aren't they doing it? I don't know, because the money's there. The only reason I can think of is the one that Nintendo gave them. It's, hey, you're going to dilute your franchise if you do this, because you're going to put it in people's heads that this stuff is only worth, you know, $5, $6 as opposed to the $60 we really want to charge people. Similarly, you know, if you want something similar in terms of comparison, Microsoft had the Game Room on Xbox 360, which allowed developers to push their old Atari 2600 type games to the live marketplace for like a, you know, $2-3. Publisher said, that's not enough money, we're not going to do it. Game Room collapsed, no one ever played it, and it's a shame because it was a great idea.
And I just continue to wonder what's next, and I keep an eye on the game market. I admit that I am not a hardcore gamer by any extension. Every so often I get nostalgic, and that's why I think about things like Mega Man, where, you know, I would, even though I'm not a hardcore gamer or even a regular gamer, come back and play things that remind me of my childhood, which a lot of people do.
Right.
So I'd come back, and, you know, if there was a Mega Man that I could download, I'd come back and I'd spend some time with it. I bought a copy of Punch-Out for the Wii, which I don't own a Wii, but my nephews do, so I bought a copy of Punch-Out, and I went over there and beat the crap out of them, but that's a whole Well, I'm one of those, I know you've had issues with the motion thing for Microsoft, which always, the name escapes me.
The Kinect.
The Wii has its own motion control.
Of course.
And I was, when I started playing with the thing, I started really getting involved and people started laughing at me hysterically. Because when I was playing Wii Sports, I said, well, you know, what's the point if you're not pretending that you're playing a sport? If the idea is to move around, you know, I would jump up and down and people would worry that the floor was going to collapse. And I would bowl very, you know, enthusiastically. But if you're going to get involved in motion control on a game, why not, you know, go all in? So, So I want to, you know, it may be that the person sitting there on the couch waving their hand, you know, in a minor motion can go and beat me. But I was sitting there, you know, I actually got double Wii elbow, you know, beating people up because I really was waving the controller around in the air as if I was hitting them.
And it worked, I'm sure.
I actually have to find a game where waving the remote control around as if you're actually hitting somebody is the only way that it works.
I'm sure there's a few, because the Wii has a lot of garbage software, to say the least, so I'm sure there's a ton of software that really doesn't work. It's going to be a very interesting console in terms of the collector's market, too, because of how much oddball stuff it is. So I'm sure you wouldn't have to look far to find a game where that does work.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, people started using the Wii for exercise. And if the only way that it would work is if I actually pretended to do the exercise, I'd be motivated. You know, why leave my house and go to a gym when I can go beat the crap out of random people? And I'll call it exercise.
It counts.
Yeah, and we'll see. You know, I can't imagine waving my phone around in the air. I know how many times the Wii control flew across the room, which is why they added that strap.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I'd be worried about waving my phone in the air to because the phone could do motion control. Because the phone has an accelerometer, the phone has GPS, you could do all sorts of things with it. I'm not sure if you heard about the game that Google was putting out where you had to go places and do things.
Yeah, I kind of remember something about that. Did that actually go anywhere? Was that a thing?
No, there's still people who are doing it. But the idea is, if I understand correctly, I never got involved, but it would designate these areas where you would have to protect or defend them. And you'd be part of one of two teams.
Okay.
So essentially the idea is you go out in the real world and play a game, and other people are either involved with the game or think you're nuts and arrest you. But, you know, that's the world of technology. You know, 20 years ago, if you were walking around talking and there was nobody standing next to you for you to be talking to, you'd be hauled away to Bellevue. But now if you're walking down the street going and talking to somebody, you assume that there's something in their ear.
Right.
That's why I have such a hard time in New York. I don't know when somebody's crazy and when somebody's just talking to a person who isn't there.
Oh, the term I always go with, are they lazy or are they crazy? And you take bets on that. do that all the time.
I'll never win. I talk to too many crazy people during the course of my day. Many of them work with me. Well, you know, that's you've seen Dilbert, which is based on Scott Adams' time working at Pacific Bell.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people have the, you know, I feel like I have those stories about my place of business, and I know a lot of other people feel they do as well. Where you are sure that if you actually told people what went on at your place of business, they would not believe it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Work in retail, the stories add up very quickly.
Well, you worked was it Hollywood Video?
I worked at it was local. It was called Video Connection. And then they were bought out by a movie gallery before I finally got canned. So, a lot of stories. A lot of stories.
Yes. Well, I wish you had been working to give me advice at my local video place. It would have depressed me about a lot of the video based on your reviews. And you're this close to talking.
Yeah, I've had people angry at me too.
Well, you're this close to talking me into buying a anniversary edition of Willy Wonka.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a daily deal or if it's a weekly deal, but you should get on there pretty quick.
I know, but you know, then I sit there and say, if I replaced everything I bought on DVD on Blu-ray immediately, you know, I already don't have enough money in my life, but. But you know, I can deal with that because, you know, I don't know about you, but I get very cheered up when Jack Albertson sings "I've Got a Golden Ticket." For some reason, that song always cheers me up.
It's just a great movie overall. Every song in that movie is a winner. It really is.
And that's
why, and it's a gorgeous Blu-ray.
Well, that's what I want to see. I want to see how a movie that I am very fond of personally turned into a Blu-ray. And you know, I tried that with Back to the Future.
Yeah.
I know. You told me.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I warned you, man.
But I'd like you to at least appreciate that I am a fan of your work.
Good. Thank
you,
sir.
And I do listen to your program. So would you like to tell people where they can find you when you're not here?
You can find me over at the Digital Media Zone. I am on Scene in HD. We tend to record once a week, but half the time we forget. So keep looking for us. We'll pop up once in a while. You can also find me over on doblue.com, which is what we've been discussing about here for the past few minutes.
There's no gaming stuff, by the way. Just in case.
No. I should probably start throwing that in. People do probably type "do blue," and I don't know what that is.
Well, you probably, if it isn't taken, I'd say buy the domain and redirect it.
That's true. It's probably a porn site with my luck. It's some blue fetish. I don't know.
Well, I have a computer here. Let's look. Doblue.com. No, nothing there.
Nothing there. Can't be worth that much.
Well, no. I don't know if it's actually. It relates to one of those landing sites, so somebody might have registered it, but nobody's using it.
Right. Like I said, they couldn't want much for it.
Okay. DoBlue is owned by Arthur Wagner at 6810 Sherwick Drive, Berkeley, California. His phone number is 415-425-2010, and he apparently has registered it via GoDaddy. And it expires on December 26, 2013, so he must have just renewed.
Oh. Huh. Must have been an interest to him for some reason, then.
Yeah. I wonder what we can find out about Mr. Wagner. No, can't find anything.
Oh, the internet is a wonderful thing.
Well, you know, I just love what you can find out just sitting at a computer.
Yeah. Scary.
Well, it is. I'm sure I could find out a lot of interesting things about other people. For example, I can tell you many things about my co-host, Jerry Jones. For example, I have his business card here somewhere, where it refers to him as an evil genius. Yes. I once had a business card that said expert on everything. Well, it's important. Just a few bits of housekeeping. This show records live on Monday nights at 10, except when we tell you we're not going to be here, in which case we'll tell you when we're going to be. We're rarely not here, except when there's a holiday or some other emergency that keeps us, and we always reschedule for some time. So at least once a week you'll hear from us. We, of course, again, sponsored by the people over at Dine.com, our new exciting sponsor, which I look forward to taking the opportunity to talk more about when Jerry returns. So hopefully next week.
Hopefully.
Jerry, come back, please. Not that I don't like you, Matt. It's always nice to have him. You know?
I was that terrible, so he really wants you back.
No, I didn't say you were terrible. You're welcome to replace Jerry on a regular basis if you want, but that would really hurt Jerry's feelings, and I would miss him.
That's true. I wouldn't want to do that.
Besides, you have your own show.
That's true.
And I'm sure that you know from the fact that you replaced a previous host, how hosts who are no longer on the show are treated.
That's true. That's true.
Anyway, other than that, we are a member of the Tech Podcast Network. I'm told if it's tech, it's there. And they do many shows. They did some lovely CES coverage, and there are a lot of good shows on their network should you want a show for any interest. And once your show is established enough, you can, too, join their network. For example, I have some of their most recent programs just loaded up here. I'm sure you tune into many shows on that network.
Sure.
Well, have you ever tuned in and listened to the Lou Trek Show, where Lou talks about Trek?
No.
I'm looking over
their shows now.
Yeah, how about Two Smart Guys? How-to videos and reviews on the latest mods for latest gadgets. They interviewed Griffin about new Crayola pens and neat mirror case for iPhone and iPad. We have, of course, the Tech Ranch, which is doing their wrap-up of CES, which I'm sure a lot of people are doing this week. Linux Gamecast Weekly Video Standard Definition. You have Deemable Tech, which is tech worth talking about and tech help you need. We have Nintendo Pulse, a weekly show all about Nintendo.
Wow, nice.
Out of Continues. Now, that's a cute name. Out of Continues is the podcast for when you are out of quarters.
Oh, that's a clever name.
Yeah, I thought it was a cute one. Two Rambling Idiots podcast, a podcast about life, love, technology, and the love of technology.
Well, we should have named Scene in HD.
Well, this week their episode title, episode 44, is Conversating on the Correctification of Mispronouncisms. People make fun of the names I put for episodes. So if you're interested now, the Tech Podcast Network does have an affiliate network. If you are not a tech podcaster, you can join up. In order to join up with other podcasters on network, they have the Blueberry Network. I think they have another subdivision as well. But basically, it's a bunch of people. Admittedly, it is owned by Raw Voice, which is an advertising company, which does do statistics for podcasters. But it is basically for the people involved. It is a community where podcasters can come together and form a little network so that we can do stuff together. Be it just talk about podcasting, or if I really needed a guest, I could go out and ask if somebody wanted to be my guest. But I prefer to I prefer to ask you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You're not the only person who's ever been on the show.
Cheater.
But you have just made your second appearance, which a few more appearances and you may beat the top person.
I can be first at something.
Well, you're always welcome if you want to stop by. If you feel the need to talk about Android-based anything, drop us a line. We're always happy to be here. I would have let your co-host come on, but he admitted he had nothing to say.
You wouldn't want him anyway.
Well, he could have thrown us some Domino's coupons.
He could have. I've been asking for a Domino's in my neighborhood since I started the show, and I still don't have one.
Well, you know, if I can't get people to participate in the show by offering them junk from my garage, then maybe pizza works. You know, that's more universal, I suppose.
Yeah, true.
You know, all we ask is that you send us an email or leave a voicemail, and I will try to find something nice to send you. Nice being relative, but again, that's podcast@androidbuffet.com. Of course, you can send us a voicemail. That's 2012-WENECA. That's WENECA. That is, of course, the parent of this podcast. We're just a bunch of guys trying to save money on hosting. I'd like to say we're a nonprofit, but we don't object to making profit. We just don't. There's a difference. Anyway, on that note, of course, you can find us on Twitter @AndroidBuffet. You can find us on Facebook @facebook.com/AndroidBuffet. You can find us anywhere finer social media is done. We won't be doing finer social media, but we're there anyway. We will be back next week. Jerry should be back from his odyssey in Vancouver. Did you know that there's a Vancouver in the United States?
Is there really?
Yes. Apparently he's in Vancouver, Washington. But he has internet access, so, because he's online right now. Maybe he left his computer at home online.
Oh, he could have.
I suppose so, but we look forward to seeing him back next week. If not, I will appoint Murph to be my co-host. He can sit in the chat room and make snarky comments, and I'll talk to myself, which is my backup plan every week if Jerry doesn't show up.
And a fine backup plan it is, sir.
Well, you know, for all we know, you're really me, and I'm just doing a voice.
That's like super mind-numbing. That's crazy.
Well, you could be
that could be true.
You could be a figment of my imagination.
I could be. Man, that'd be creepy.
Well, I think Ohio might be a figment of my imagination.
It'd be nice if it was.
Really?
It means it wasn't real.
Okay. you can think about that till the next time you stop by. And, of course, I look forward to hearing the next episode of your show, where I'm certain this time you remember to mention you were on the show.
I will. And I'll also post this over on I'll post this over on multiplayergames.com since it fits. So.
Okay, well, I'm always happy to have somebody talk about games because while, as I said, I do know what's going on in the gaming community, I admit to not being an expert. So I like to hear from other people. If you feel you're on you're an expert on a topic we do not talk about on the show, why not volunteer to be a guest? In fact, we had a volunteer who said that if no one else showed up, he would be happy to show up. but he didn't send us any references. So I have to get around to contacting him and vetting him a bit more. Because to be on the show, we have to have, I don't know, how do we establish your credentials for being on the show?
I don't remember what we did. I think you just heard me on CNNHD, didn't you? I had a previous body of work.
Well, no, I was familiar with your previous body of work. I'd heard you on another podcast. Yeah. And don't forget that exactly how this show is affiliated with the Digital Media Zone.
I was supposed to answer that.
No, I wanted to see if you knew.
No, I have no idea.
Jerry Jones, when I first met him, was doing a show called HTP Centric on the Digital Media Zone with a guest. What was the name of his co-host? Adam Thursby.
Oh, Adam. Okay.
So essentially, I met Jerry because I ended up being on the show as a guest on his show. And we ended up doing a show together, and Adam dropped out of doing HTP Centric because he had other obligations, which was always good.
Well, Adam dropped off the face of the earth because he was old, so.
I'm sure he's on the face of the earth still. Remember, the earth is round. It's hard to drop off of it. But, you know, he as I understand it, got very busy and had, what is it you said about him? He had to take naps in the afternoon?
Yeah, and he started living in an igloo somewhere. And it just got complicated, the internet, so.
So he was busy, so he did have to curtail his podcasting. So that meant I got more Jerry and you got more Phil.
Yep, basically.
Okay, so that's why I feel like, you know, we have this connection. You know, these 6 degrees of separation. Also, you keep convincing me to buy or not buy movies, so I figure it's
fair. That's true.
You owe me something for all this money I've invested.
Hey, I do that very well. There's one thing I'm good at is getting people to buy stuff.
Okay. Where were you when I bought the Chromebook?
Well, I didn't know you were buying a Chromebook.
Well, actually, I went on and I said to people, I'm thinking of buying a Chromebook. Please talk me out of it. Which is what I said when I said I'm thinking of buying a Galaxy S3 used from a guy in Chicago. Please talk me out of it. And people keep talking me into it.
See, I had a buddy of mine who wanted a new TV. He just wanted a simple 2D. He said he was looking about a 50-some-odd-inch TV. And I convinced him not only to go through a 3D TV, he got a 62-inch TV, brand new home theater, brand new speakers, and a new 360. So I'm good. Yeah. I can spend other people's money like nobody.
But, you know, whenever I tell anybody, can you give me some good reasons why I shouldn't do this? Because I really am nervous about spending large amounts of money. Not that I don't do it, but then I feel as if I've been irresponsible. People never give me, it must be, I've decided that I must make really good decisions. Because it can't be that they just don't want to tell me I shouldn't spend money. It must be that I make really good decisions so that the things I'm really considering getting must be such a great decision that they can't find any fault with it.
That's good logic, though.
Yeah, and I just redid my home theater, and you were talking about 55. I only have 32. So,
oh, yeah, it's time to get bigger.
Well, unfortunately, I have a problem with room layout. I have a sliding glass door in here. I live on the ground floor. So the problem is the television has to fit in the space between the end of the sliding glass door and the corner of the room. But what I did to compromise for the fact that I can't get a bigger television is I finally rearranged the furniture so the viewing area is closer to the television. So I will think that it's a bigger television.
Good thinking.
Yes. IKEA was very helpful.
Yes, I've discovered IKEA for the first time maybe about a month ago.
Well, when you need something simple, for example, I needed a end table to put next to my couch while I was sitting there watching things so I could put my snack on it.
Right.
So they sold me a table for $9.99.
I know the exact table you got to.
Yes, the LAC.
Yep.
So I'm sitting at a McHale, which they don't make anymore, next to another McHale. I've upgraded since then, but I made my first microphone mount for this podcast out of a lamp from IKEA, the Tertial.
Nice.
All of my pictures on the wall are on a Riba shelf because whenever I want to change a photo on the wall, I don't want to make another hole. So I have a photo ledge.
Nice.
So I'm very IKEA equipped. All of my stereo equipment is inside a Besta.
I was amazed actually going through IKEA. It was really a religious experience the first time.
Well, once you accept that the furniture is not going to last if you move it regularly,
right?
It has to stay in the same place. The really nice thing about it is if you want customization, one, it's modular, so you can go back and buy a different piece. And as your needs change, you can adapt the pieces you have. So I can drill a hole in the back of it and run a wire. I can hack it to do something else. And at the end of the day, if it really breaks, it's cheap enough that you don't feel bad about replacing it.
Right.
You think they could become a sponsor?
They should. We just pimped them, I mean, as best as you probably could.
Well, you know, I mean, we do all this free promotion for Android, and they don't comp us any.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
And, you know, well, and I know you get things because of your writing, but because of your participation in CNNHD, has anybody ever sent you something?
Not because of CNNHD, no. Yeah. No, I wish.
Well, I wish too. I think that, you know, admittedly, podcasting, there are people who do it for money. I've never met any of them. I know there are people who have aspirations of doing it for money. I have aspirations of doing it for money only because that would mean that I was doing something that I enjoyed and got paid for it, which sounds like a wonderful thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that you must understand this because I gather that's what you do for a living.
Yes. Yes. Well, I don't podcast, but yeah.
No, I'm saying, you do something for a living that you very much enjoy. I do something for a living that, you know, admittedly, there are times, when, you know, like most jobs, there are times when it's enjoyable. And there are times when you want to, you know, go into somebody's office and tender your resignation just because it's been that kind of day. And that, you know, that's every business. And, you know, you end up with a pile of stories where you sit around and tell people these stories and people do not believe you. This could possibly happen. And, you know, that can be fun too. But at least, you know, I remember what my grandmother said. Work is not what you do to have fun. Work is what you do so you can have fun when you're not there.
That's a good piece of advice right there. Well, Kudos, Grandma.
She worked very hard until the day she retired. She worked in a cafeteria in the Bronx.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
I feel good the quote. Desire to call her. I should call my grandmother. Anyway.
You should.
I spoke to her earlier this week. I should call her tonight. Actually, no, it's 11:30.
Yeah, you probably want to call Grandma at 11:30.
Yeah, she's probably in bed. I'll call her tomorrow. On that note, to everybody, have a good week. We'll be back next week. And if available, call a loved one. It doesn't have to be your grandmother. You know, it may be that you feel you have another relative that you're thinking fondly of. It's a random day in January. Call a loved one, tell them that you care about them, and listen to their wisdom.
Life advice from an Android podcast.
Why not?
We do it all.
Yes, and I've already picked the title of this episode. Mr. Jones Goes to Washington. Why not? Sometimes I have a reasonably amusing idea in advance.
There you go.
Yes. And I will be sure to give you credit in the post after the Dine DNS ad that I'm contractually obligated to put in.
Awesome.
Have a nice week. And, you know, feel free to subscribe to the show, Matt. You can hear yourself in glorious stereo.
Woo!
Yeah, we produce the show in stereo.
Nice.
Yes.
Production value.
Production value. If I have production value, why is the show up 15 minutes after it's done? I've just gotten it down to a science. That's the secret. Make it so easy that you have to do very little to make it seem like you're doing a lot.
There you go.
Yes.
More life advice right there. That can go for anything.
There's a reason why somebody gave me the nickname Guru. You know, I have to live up to it and give, you know, sage and witty pieces of advice. You know, Gadget Wisdom was just because the domain was available.
There you go.
Anyway, on that note, I'm going to let you go to bed, and I probably should do that eventually.
Yeah, sleep is a good thing.
I'll schedule it eventually.
Yeah.
Have a nice evening, and don't be a stranger.
Will not.
And I want to say a special good night to Jerry Jones, wherever you are.